Greetings and felicitations.
This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am net control operator for this episode of the Longmark Technical Net. As always, I like to remind people there are different ways of getting in touch with us and interacting. If you have any questions for the mailbag, if you have any topics you'd like to have discussed on the Technical Net, or if you would like me to pass on anything to pull for the Space Report, a website or a story that's interesting, you can email me at mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. There will be a link page. There is a link page now, and it has a link to a series of articles and web pages that have to do with a mailbag question that I will hopefully be able to address tonight. You can find that at roy.ac2gs.com. Again, the link page is roy.ac2gs.com. There is a chat room. Unfortunately, I'm kind of busy, so I can't chat, but other people can, and you can get there by typing in chat.ac2gs.com. And I'm streaming this on the internet if someone you know doesn't have a radio or is out of range. They could type technet.ac2gs.com and listen to the audio stream. And as always, Mike, KC2NJI, has archives of the Technical Net. It goes back to more than 10 years, so you might want to take a look at that. So anyway, let us begin tonight. We will take technical questions, and then I have a technical mailbag question and a medical mailbag question for a change. And then we'll do science and probably a lot of the virus net type of stuff, depending upon whether people have questions and they're interested in the stuff. So let me ask, if anyone has any questions of a technical nature, please give me your first name and your call sign.
K2K, Andy, Richie, and Boy, if I can, I would just like to address the TechNet first.
Certainly, Richie, please. You have the stage.
All right, thanks, Roy, and to all the longtime TechNet listeners. I wanted to remind everyone or to let everyone know that tomorrow would actually be the first anniversary of the passing of Eric, KE2EJ, and I think we miss him very much for all the technical knowledge that he brought to the TechNet. And in addition, for many of you, just to realize that he loved this TechNet so much that he was the one that made sure that it was always able to be up and running Sunday at 8 o'clock. And sometimes that meant his running from Glen Oaks to Selden, sometimes to Plainview, all to make sure that all the links and everything were up and running. What you're using right now in terms of linking Selden and Glen Oaks and the IRLT and the Echolink that we have, that was all Eric's innovation. Not innovation, but in the sense that Eric was the one that put it in there, and Eric is the one that kept the Limehawk repeaters going. I spoke to his wife, Janine, tonight, and she has lit a memorial candle for him. It's kind of ironic that she's lighting a candle in the Jewish religion on the day of resurrection, and we sometimes wonder if Eric is somewhere out there. She said that she's very spiritual, and Eric was very spiritual, and she said that she believes he's very happy and laughing and relieved of a lot of burdens. And I said, yeah, he's laughing at Limehawk trying to figure out what he did. He was brilliant. He was incredible. There was a problem at a repeater. He'd go up there on site, put together a breadboard, and put something in there to make it work, and none of us had any idea of what he had actually done. And we're reverse engineering now. Very complicated, but we miss him. I just wanted to let everyone know of this memorial date. And as I said, we miss him. His brilliance was beyond reproach and just a wonderful guy. So, Roy, thanks for the opportunity, and back to net. This is K2KND.
Well,
thank you, Richie, and we all miss Eric. He was a brilliant guy, knew a great deal about almost everything. And it's a shame when any of us pass on, but, you know, the people that kind of share their knowledge with us is a special loss in addition. I grieve the death of Eric. He was a regular here long before I had my ticket, and we will miss him. Nevertheless, the show must go on, so if anyone has a technical question that they would like to bring up tonight, please give me your first name and your call sign.
David, KT2RY.
Okay, David, you are recognized. Let me ask if anyone else would like to get on the list. If you have any questions of a technical nature or topics you'd like to discuss, please give me your first name and your call sign.
Bob, Whiskey Bravo 2, Victor Golf Delta.
Could you give me that again? I think it's Whiskey 2, JB.
It's Bob, Whiskey Bravo 2, Victor Golf Delta.
Okay, Bob, you're on the list. Anyone else want to put their name on the list tonight for any technical questions? Okay, very well. We'll take David, KG2RY. What's your question for tonight, David?
QSL, Roy. I hope you're having an okay, fantastic evening, despite, you know, everything that's happening. Good evening, everyone. I have a question. They take these very high-tech digital video cameras, like Red camera, other kinds of cameras, and they put out a very resolute digital signal, and the signal is edited, and then it is rendered into a file. And the file can be a large size file with lots of resolution in the bits and bytes. And many times, and I'd say most of the time, that file is converted into compressed audio and video, MP4. How can you play the full resolution file on a 4K TV? Mike, back to you.
Well, as far as my understanding, most storage file formats these days have a degree of lossy compression. They have very intelligent lossy compression, but they have lossy compression. So the incredible number of bits required to render a 4K image would kind of clog up everything. So you're always going to get some degradation. Some of them finesse it much better than others, but there's always degrading going on. And once in lossy compression, you degrade the image, there's no real way to accurately reintegrate that. There are artificial intelligence software algorithms that are used to kind of finesse the details back into something approaching what we expect. But the actual data itself, once compressed out of existence, can't be accurately recreated from the compressed files.
Yes, I know what you're saying, and that's true. Most video that you see is compressed video and audio, but seriously compressed. My question is, what if you have the full resolution, non-compressed video and audio, it's edited as non-compressed video and audio, and then you want to play it back, so you can play it back on a good computer, But for some reason, you know, the most modern televisions, you know, with all the resolution on the screen, you know, that you cannot play a full resolution image, you know, video image on it, you know, theatrical projection resolution doesn't work on a TV, but you can play it on a computer. You can play it on one of those Apple 5K computers. Go ahead.
Fantastic.
Okay, Wesley, recognize. Let me try this as best that I can. If you have a lossless a video of a high resolution signal, it has a rather significant stream rate, bit rate that it has to deal with, and graphic cards in computers have much more rendering ability than commercial television. So my guess is, for the most part, televisions are simply designed for a lower bitstream rate and upscale it on the tail end, as opposed to on your computer. Theoretically, you can throw the full bitstream at a good video card and have it render in a high-resolution screen. But I'll ask Wesley if he agrees or disagrees on that, or if he had any other statement to make.
Well, I do agree that the thing is that the subject is not one word to be said. There are a number of factors related to the quality of the picture and the compression and eventually to projecting that picture on the screen, ladies and gentlemen. So we could go to the history a little bit. It was 457, 80, 1080, and then 1080 became 1080p format. When we talk about a format, and it was named as a format starting from 1080. Before it was we have 780, 720 even. Depends from area of the world. And then with development of high definition, we had the two standards. One was sort of high resolution, that was 1080p, where 720 by 1080 was the size of the picture. But then they went a little bit further, and they had 1920 by 1080. So that was a high resolution. That was something. And then they went to sort of 2K, but 2K was never official. And the only what happened to be official was 4K. But before 4K, they created a format that was known as H264. And it was somehow familiar to, similar to MPEG-4, and comparison to AVC or HEVC, which offered 25 to 50% data compression better. And then they went to the art of it, which was H265. And H265 is a compression format for video cameras, but also for the television, but also for the video enthusiasts and professionals used today. Let me jump. And we had a number of different variation of the quality that was related to 1080p, and film industry wasn't satisfied with it. They went much, much further before the time of ability to display the picture in the good quality, and they delivered a format that was DNHHR. From that, we can date a beginning of a television that could have a custom trimmed video display, and that is HDR. So, HEVC, known as H265 video, is important for all of us because we're going to be soon, or we already are watching at 4K display. So what is 4K? Well, we can project the picture and describe the picture in pixels as well, not only in the physical size of the picture. So approximately 2K resolution is equal to 3 megapixels, 4 megapixels format. When we're talking about 4K, we're talking about double of this amount, and that would be 8 megapixels. For those who play with the cameras, and I play with that stuff, professional cameras, for quite a time, we might say that 4K is absolutely excellent, but for some reason Panasonic 2 years ago decided to put on the market a camera that is very much affordable, around $10,000, with lenses, and that was EVA-1, and that one was able to make the movies in 5.6K. But then we got another guy on the market who is actually revolutionizing all of the movie and film and TV industry by destroying it, completely destroying it. How does it, how it works? Let me drop. And the guy owns the company, and it's an Australian company known as Blackmagic. So that what was once the rich people value and property evolved to something that Blackmagic was blamed for, and he was blaming for making everything commodity. Everything affordable. So he put on the market equivalent of the camera, and that was Blackmagic video, Blackmagic pocket video camera 4K, and that was 2 years ago, and last year he put on the market Blackmagic video pocket video camera 6K.
Wesley?
Yes.
I appreciate the overview of the subject, but I think that David has a specific question that he would like addressed, and my sensibility of why he can't get lossless images on a television screen are simply because the processor doesn't allow for the incredibly high bitstream required, and defaults to a lower bitstream lossy compression and upscales it on the tail end, and that's kind of the short version answer of why he can't do it on a TV set, but he can do it on a computer that has a more high-end graphic card.
Yes and no. Shortly, because I wanted to give you the overview of it, but shortly. If he has a TV that is connected through the cable has a very much limited bandwidth comparing to fiber. So companies who operate over the fiber, even on digital TV using the internet, they have ability to deliver more data in a given time frame. That allows to process compress that image to be more fast. My question to him is, what he has for his computer. I understand that he has internet. Does he have a DSL? Does he have the cable, or he has the fiber? And what does he use for his TV? And what screen does he have? Is it 1080p or is it 4K? Now, one more note. Even if you watch on the TV set that is 1080p, but the picture delivered is 4K, your 80p, because of the shrinking the pixels to much smaller picture size, 1080p will be much sharper than any other HD TV picture. That's it.
Okay, very good, Wesley. I would assume David, and we'll ask David, he's using a screen that isn't 1080, because if he was using a screen that was 1080 on his computer, he wouldn't be telling us that he has full resolution of his high-res image. But if you're interested, Wesley, I will ask David the specs on the display and the mode that he's getting the bit stream into his computer. I would assume it's Ethernet. Probably either a DSL or fiber. Nowadays, the technology has improved that the bit stream is incredibly high, higher than you would have a problem to get high resolution. But again, for those cases, the high resolution video would still be in a lossy compression. So I would sort of assume that he has a file on his computer and the I.O. of his hard drive or solid-state drive is what's giving the bit stream. But let's ask David.
QSL, Roy, and good evening, Wesley. I'm using mostly 1080p high-resolution videos, and I know they're high-resolution because I created them that way, you know. And my computer reads 1080p almost full screen. I think it's expanded. It's expanded to the edges of the screen. And maybe I want to upgrade to the new Apple iMac, which is a 5K screen. 7 inches in diameter can play, you know, the same files. You know, I would say that probably the same resolution on this computer as what it would be on that computer. The other computer plays a 4K and 5K, and this computer will play 4K and 5K, but it will shrink the pixels. You know, I come to the realization that the people that manufacture the televisions and the equipment and the pipelines for the signals to travel, you know, it's pretty easy and more convenient, I think, that these files are as small as possible and require the least processing to play them, you know? So we're getting less resolution maybe than we want, and the question is, can we somehow get the source material of high resolution and play it on a regular 4K TV?
Okay, in the computer, when you look in the computer for high quality pictures or movies, you have two factors. One is hardware of the computer, and you can process the picture by using a software, and the other one is the same hardware of the computer that is connected to high quality video card. By that, you can use the hardware of the video card and not employ the software and the resources of the computer. The computer is like weightless right now, And it, all the computer does is only to take that picture from the video card and put it on your display. So there are a number of video cards that could be purchased and changed in your computer. Now, I assume you use not Windows-based computers, right?
Negative. I use a Mac. I have a Windows-based computer, and I play videos on it, but only low-resolution compressed material.
Yeah, there is a word, CUDA. Word CUDA states about switching the computer, your own computer, to the hardware mode. So you're using CUDA. 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 To make the computer operate your video files in hardware. Question is your Mac capable of changing? But I believe it is, unless you have a laptop to change the video cards for much better. And wish you.
Yes, Leslie, I realize that. But if, let's say, I'm able to get access to the source of a really great movie in high resolution, you know, how could I play it on my TV? You know, I guess maybe, you know, like music, you know, the improvement from a CD was an MP3, you know, and I guess people have become very used to getting sort of like a second-rate quality. Go ahead.
Well, it depends what you're doing with the computer. Are you trying to play the picture that comes from the internet and goes to the video card, and from the video card goes to the monitor? Or are you trying to make the video? Like I make videos where my video card gets my file from my camera, and then software works on it using CUDA in that video card, in addition to that video card, and then sends it to the computer, and the computer then sends it to the same video card back, but only to the display. So it depends what you're doing with it. The explanation is, if you don't have a good video card, you don't have a good quality. Now, some people may say this is not true because if you have enough of the resources in the computer, the software picture could be as good as the picture that is processed by the video card. And that is right. That's true. That is true. That is easy to see the difference between problem with the video quality processing or problem with processing the data. When you see on your TV a scrambled picture, or on your computer the scrambled picture that is somehow ripped off in some point and then start to play smoothly after a second or two, we're talking not about the quality of your screen or quality of your video card, but we're talking about ability of the computer to process that signal that came from the internet to your computer. If you use that. And so again.
QSL, Wesley. I have about 85 movies from 2 minutes to 2 hours. They're uncompressed audio, CD quality, maybe a little bit better. And picture quality, mostly 1080p, which will play great on a 4K screen. So I watch it on my computer, and the video is on my computer. I play it from my hard drive, and I do it through a program called L Media, with the enhancements in the audio. So the quality of the audio is a million times better than iTunes or any other player that I've used, including QuickTime. So, you know, I tell you, it's like one thing or another. I want to use this kind of quality, you know, better picture and CD quality audio. That sounds like, you know, it's right, you know?
Okay, thank you very much for that. It was very much informative. I have the answer for you, and I found the reason why you're having problem. It's uncompressed video. So a few words about uncompressed video. Uncompressed video in digital, a video that has either never been compressed or was generated by the compressing previously compressed digital video. It is commonly used by video cameras, video monitors, video recording devices, including the general purpose of computers. And in video processors that perform functions such as image resizing and image rotation or deinterlacing and the text and graphic overlay, we have the application for that too. But a uncompressed video for 10-minute length, depends from the format, can take as much as 1 terabyte of data. While the compressed video can be occupying 10% of it. Now, it has to be decompressed in order to be presented on the screen, right? That's the video card. That's what is video card doing? The hardware compression instead of software compression. That's what it's doing. I was by myself playing with uncompressed video. Oh boy! Depends how long is the video. Depends what format do you use. You have a digital interface such as HDMI, HDMI, DisplayPort, or SDI. And those are the standards. But standards also exist for the carriage of uncompressed video over the computer networks. So, depends what you deal with. If your uncompressed video is not your own, but you're dealing with uncompressed video that came in uncompressed form, you actually cooked it. In your computer, you're cooking it. It's like you're not really generating the proper environment for that video to be properly processed. So, you have a choice. You might either compress it and decompress it in the hardware using CUDA, or you might use it in uncompressed form, but then your computer has to be really, really beefy and to share.
I start with an 8 to 10 bit video file. These videos are edited and somehow compressed, but not too much, not to the point where. And for me, it's not important the technology, but more to get this thing to happen. So whatever technology I need to find out about, that's what I want to learn. And, yeah, I mean, 8 to 10 bit video isn't non-compressed video, but it's very high resolution video.
Okay. We have 8-bit video and 10-bit video. And it's a humongous difference between 8-bit and 10-bit color. So there is a difference between those two. And they are also explained in form of 422 or 420. And when you have a 422 10-bit and 422 8-bit, we're talking about 3 times. In 10-bits, better. 3 times more data than 8-bits alone. I might not be completely correct in it, but I'm taking it out of my head right now. Let me drop.
Leslie?
Yes.
Tend to think we're going a little bit
deep into the rabbit hole. I appreciate the thorough discussion that you want to have, but I think most people are getting lost in a lot of the nomenclature that everyone's throwing around. And I've grown a little confused. I thought that David's principal question was, why can't he have as good resolution uncompressed in his television than he can have in his computer? It seems to have morphed into more of a discussion of the computer hardware, software, compression algorithms, and other such.
Okay, so using more sophisticated language very quickly. We have a 4K resolution, 60 frames per second, and the format is 4:4:4, subsampling, doesn't matter what it means. And then we have a need for 17.82 gigabits of the pipeline to be able to work with it. And then we have a color gamut, which would be a color form in a given format that is on addition to it. Now, stopping that gibberish, we would may say that what he needs is just to have a computer that is capable of processing that data. I assume that he is watching uncompressed video in 30 frames per second or 23.95, which is the standard. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Wesley. David, just to kind of touch base with the original question. Wasn't the original question why you can't have the same quality in your television set that you're having in your computer?
I don't know. Maybe there is a way to do it. Maybe there's a way to connect some kind of peripheral from a computer into the television and make it super high resolution. You know, I'm not so interested in downloading anything. I want to take existing videos on hard drive and play them in high resolution. Sort of like those new 5K iMac Pros, you know. They seem to have all the resolution I would need. The problem is, you know, very small package.
Comment?
Please, comment.
KD2CX. Good evening, everybody. I hardly ever check into this net, but I usually monitor it, but this is right up my alley. So, as everybody knows, I'm a voltage engineer. We do a lot of conference rooms, a lot of audio, video, and if you'd like, I can shed some light on this. Is that okay with that?
Certainly, feel free.
So from what I understand, and I'm just going to repeat the question since we're all on the same page and I haven't lost anything in translation, is that you're displaying video content, I don't care if it's compressed or uncompressed or whatever the situation is, on your computer and it displays at an acceptably high resolution. Then when you try and connect that to an external commercial flat screen TV, LCD TV, however, whatever resolution that is, the quality is not as good as the computer. Is that correct?
Well, this was the possibility. You know, how do we solve the problem to get high-definition video to play through a 4K TV? Beyond that, doesn't matter. You know I can play it on an iMac, you know, a 4K, 5K iMac, and it'll look fine. But, like, what if I want to play it through my home TV?
Oh, let me see if I have it. Okay, so the first thing is that the video card, if you're going to connect the computer to the, let's say you have a 4K Samsung. Well, it could be anything. It could be a TLC or whatever you bought, but let's just say it's a 4K Samsung. All right, you're going to come through an HDMI port. So there are many flavors that all look the same. And it could come down to, one, the TV doesn't support native refresh rates that your video card supports, and it's going to click down to something that it does support.
Two, you could be using a substandard cable that doesn't support 4K video, and it's going to drop down to what it feels is acceptable, because HDMI is a two-way communication. It's not just like an old video cable that just dumps the video out. It doesn't know if the monitor is connected or not. Or your video card in your computer does not support the native resolutions, and they're not as vast as computer monitors. Computer monitors have a whole slew of built-in refresh rates and native screen resolutions and color palettes and everything that talk to various computers, because they have to be compatible with what's out there. Let me let it drop. TVs, unless you buy a very high-end TV, are not as, for lack of a better term, universal. So they're going to come down to whatever is available, whatever the card likes and the TV will mutually agree upon. Sometimes it's not acceptable. Sometimes they'll sync up to a resolution that looks terrible or has a terrible native white camera or something like that, and then you have to start playing with things. Macs, especially Mac Minis, are notorious for not liking very large screen TVs, such as Samsung 1080p or 4K TVs. They start to go crazy when they see something they don't like. I ran into that last month, I wasn't doing much of anything last week, where we were putting a Mac Mini in a conference room. They had the Mac Mini, and we put it on a brand new 72-inch Samsung 4K TV, 77-inch, sorry, Samsung 4K TV. It synced up fine, but the screen was pink, and we thought we had a bad cable. It turned out that the Mac Mini thought it was displaying correct to the Samsung, but it didn't. It didn't work out. We had to force the Mac Mini to a different refresh rate, and that solved the problem. So you have to make sure that the video card and the TV line up in their sync rate and their resolution. Usually it's going to be either 4K or some native 4K-like resolution. But try 1080p first. Most 1080p resolutions are universal at this point. So the computer or the video card in the computer should support a universal 1080p at a 60 hertz refresh or better, and then make sure the TV on that input, a lot of TVs, you can go and select what resolutions it should do, is selected to auto, and then try that, and then work upwards from that. KD2CXK, back to net.
I have a question. Did you look at your Samsung to switch of 1080i or 1080p to XDR?
David, I think Wesley has a question about your television. I mean, primarily my suggestion is to pull out the paperwork that came with the television and take a good look at the spec sheet. It might not allow for HDMI bit rate as high as you would like to push into it. But if you want to answer Wesley's question.
I have another comment.
Okay, maybe just have David answer Wesley's question, and then we'll take your comment.
I want to do a presentation, and the TV is not here. It's somewhere else. So I can only gather the knowledge and see what I can do with it. You know, my videos, largest are 1080p. They're not 4K, but they're high-resolution 1080p, so they can be stretched onto 4K in a good quality picture.
The reason that I asked the question, you have 1080i and 1080p. And some Samsung, they have a switch for it. Now, the second thing is, as a general rule, whatever looks good on the small screen may not look good on the big screen because you're pulling physically the pixels out. You're taking the existing amount of pixels on 17-inch monitor and you're putting it on 65-inch monitor. That's why the resolution is important. That's why chroma subsampling is important. So I was talking about 422, 420, or 444. And then 10 bits or 8 bits, whatever is the pitch. And to share.
Well, I took a keychain with MP4 files. It's very compressed audio, compressed video. And I played it on a 4K TV. I just put it into the USB port. And I played them on that TV, and they look fantastic. But I want to see if I can improve on that.
Craig, you wanted to make a comment?
Sure, but I'm learning new stuff here from listening to Wesley. So the question I think now is, and it really comes down to it because maybe I've taken something for granted, is what resolution is the video file in? How was it shot? Okay, because if you're trying to look at a video on a larger screen, you may see pixels because you're not showing a video that was shot in a resolution that is that the TV won't reveal. Meaning that if you've got something that's shot in 720p or less, and you're going to put that on a 4K TV, it's not going to up-convert it. It's not going to add information that doesn't exist in the master recording. But that's not the case, and it adds, let's say, a 24-inch monitor and looks terrible on the TV, then I would point to the video card. I would point to the video card in the computer. You can't point to the frame buffer in the monitor because what are you going to do, buy another monitor? It would be easier for you to find a workaround. So one of the workarounds I recommend people doing is buy a Chromecast. If you buy a Chromecast and you get the listening software, you can stream from your computer directly to the Chromecast. The Chromecast supports all native modes on most TVs. I think they make a 4K one now. If not, would you be using a Macintosh or Mac video? And I'm going to send this back to Net because it's a directed Net. KD2CXK.
KD2CXK. This is KG2RY. I'm not taking anything from the Internet. All the material is made. I made all the material that I want to present or watch. So that material, will be shown, will be distributed, given, sold to people, different forms and formats. But the thing I wanted to do for the presentation is to make a very resolute, on a 4K TV, if I take a 1080p file that's 30 gigabits large and it has all the resolution from the original footage in it, that it would look better than if I took just an MP4, compressed video and audio that I put on a keychain.
I think this is close to my backyard. If I can answer.
Let's give Craig a chance, and then you'll get your chance. I tend to think it's more of a problem with your display technology being able to deal with a higher bit rate algorithm. So compressed has a lower bit stream, and it's much more tolerable for second-order, third-order CPUs that are inexpensive as opposed to ultra-high-end ones that you see in GPUs and computer graphic cards. But please, first let's have Craig comment, and then we'll have Wesley.
Okay, so I'm going to go on a whim here. So the first thing I'm going to say is that if it looks good on a computer monitor and it's acceptable to you, flicker, pixelization, tiling, third-order artifacts, all that stuff, that means if you find that on a computer monitor to be acceptable, I don't care how it was compressed. I don't care if it's MP4, AVI, it doesn't matter because the end result is acceptable to you on any. The computer is not going to the video card is not going to manufacture, you know, jitterbugging and stuff like that. If the data is there, it'll display it. So once again, when you look at the layers of how a computer is made and how, you know, the data goes through the bus and all that stuff, once it gets to the video card, all that's really is like a transmitter to the screen. It's going to take the information, it's going to compress it. It may have hardware-level anti-aliasing, all the stuff we don't have to talk about because it will be a runaway train with technology. But on the screen, if it's acceptable to you, on any hardware you show it on, you look at it and go, yes, that's what I want to see, then the data is there. We no longer care about the file. The problem is, how do we get that acceptable image onto a big screen? And obviously, the miscommunication or the loss is in between the video card, whatever you're using, and the screen, and the big screen. If the video card and the small screen look great, and the video card plugged into the large, you know, whatever it is, 55-inch monitor, or look terrible, then you have a communication problem, and you got to fix that. So my question again is, are you using a Macintosh? KD2CXK, back to net.
KD2CXK from KG2RY. QSL, Craig. Yes, I'm using a Macintosh. I guess, you know, how to, well, you're saying that a larger file, you know, a more resolute file, would it make a difference if you're playing it on a big TV? I think there's got to be something going on. I think that most people have become accustomed, you know, to lesser quality, you know. You get this big screen, you know, you can see, it somehow looks like it's lacking something.
I'm waiting for net control.
Okay, Craig, please feel free to answer David.
Okay, David, I can't tell what you mean by lacking something. Okay, it could be a multitude of things. It could be it's a low cost, low budget, very poor contrast ratio display you're using, and then you happen to be viewing it on a beautiful screen. But the fact that you said Macintosh is really the key word, and that's why I pushed for that answer. Macintoshes do not have a lot of the tweaks and bells and whistles in the operating system and the configuration that a PC would have. They're designed to be easy-to-use machines, and part of the way they get to be easy-to-use machines is they take out a lot of the stuff that confuses people who are not engineers. Okay, so that being said, now you have to work within the confines of the macOS environment, all right, and hardware, because don't forget, Apple makes their own hardware now. Those days 20 years ago buying Mac clones are over, all right? So my recommendation is if you're using a Mac and you want to see what it looks like on a big screen, is you get yourself either a late model 7 series Samsung display, and maybe it already is a late model with an year-old Samsung 7 series 4K display. If it is, those TVs now support Apple screen mirroring built into the TV. So if the TV, you put the TV on the same Wi-Fi as your Mac, and you can pass, for lack of a better term, that to the TV. You don't need any cables or anything. And now you're using the video card inside the TV, there is one in there, to do all the calculations for you. And that will solve 100% of your problems, assuming it is. KD2CX, get back to net.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. Any responses, David?
Thanks, Craig. Just like MP3s were supposed to be movement for audio sound from MP3s and then some of the, I don't know, you know. I don't think that this industry wants to make it an easy thing for people to do. So it's very difficult. And so what I'm going to do is just take a keychain with 100 times transfer, and I'm just going to put like 70 videos on it, you know, and put it through the TV, through the USB slot, and call it a day, you know, make it easier on me. Mike, back to you, Roy, KG2RY.
Okay, David, it sounds like a good idea, and you can always come back if you have anything else on this subject. Craig, if you have any closing comments to make, please.
Oh, thanks. It seems like David already has the answer to his question as a circumvent, but I hope we could help. I mean, look. I do this all the time. I run into all of these problems. I don't claim to have seen it all, but I know enough to know the questions to ask to help find the problem. And I've seen this before, especially with Macs. Macs have a very tight spectrum of what they like to communicate with, and drivers are sometimes, especially when you're talking about native video outputs of a built-in hardware device on a Mac, especially a Mac laptop. And it's not going to have all the bells and whistles that a PC with a Radeon video card will have. You're not going to be able to go in and tweak things more than a few categories, refresh rate and resolution, and then you can change the gamma and the white balance, and that's pretty much it. So if it doesn't sync right away, you're SOL in that case. By going with the Apple screencasting, and I forgot the term because I'm brainstorming today, because I've been up since 5, then you're stuck. You're going to put it on an SD card, or if you put it on a USB thumb drive and do it that way, and it supports it, one thing I recommend, if it's not, now we talked about Samsung, let me let it drop so I don't time out. Samsung and LG and Sharp and these high-end TVs that support playing video files directly from the thumb drive plugged into the USB stick are very, very picky on everything from the format to the compression to the maximum resolution. You have to go and read the guidelines of what it wants to play. They don't play everything. In fact, they play hardly anything. I know Sharp is one of the pickiest. You have to recrunch, you have to recompress that video file, and there are many free utilities out there which allow you to do it into the exact file type that it will play. And then you hope it looks good on the TV. I'm telling you, from somebody who does this a lot, if you have a Mac and you have a Samsung TV, a 7 Series newer Samsung TV that has the Apple screen mirroring built in, it'll say it, AirPlay, thank you, it's called AirPlay, use that. It solves all the problems. There's a computer in that TV, you're giving it the data file direct, and it's going to look beautiful. C2CX, get back to net. Okay, very good, Craig. Wesley, I don't want to cut you short, but if you have some kind of summary statement to make, because it's been an hour on this subject, and I would look to move on to Bob's question. So if you have some closing statements, please feel free.